I am an apprentice, like many, many of us, to be at the feet of the Mother. And you will pardon me sometimes if I am autobiographical. Like many young people of India who have been brought up under the philosophy of individualism, competition, autonomy, it is very difficult for me to be submissive. And the psychology of looking upon the world with a sense of, if not superiority, with a sense of equality was very predominant in my consciousness for many, many years in my boyhood and college days. The background in which I lived was disrespectful to the ideas of gods and goddesses, disrespectful to all authority, and the idea of surrender was anathema. But it is under a great state of mental crisis through which I passed between the age of 16 and 19, during which I sought only one important answer: what is truth? I had heard of Swami Vivekananda, who was asking question as to whether those who claimed to be God lovers, if they had seen God. In my intellectual arrogance, I had a feeling I will not ask this question, whether one has seen God or not. My question was whether one can prove intellectually whether God exists or not. If you believe in God because you see, that is much more simple. Without seeing God and yet intellectually prove that He exists, that I felt was much more important, but it's much more difficult. And it was that question which I was asking all the time. And there are many other intellectual questions which had arisen in my mind. By the age of 11, I had read the Anand Saraswati's Satyarth Prakash. That was one of my important landmarks in my intellectual development. By 14, I had read much of Swami Vivekananda and Ramakrishna. And by 16, I had read almost everything that Gandhi had written. This was my intellectual search. And then I studied a great deal of logic and world history and economics between the age of 16 and 19. And also particularly I made a study of Greek philosophy and modern philosophy, Descartes and Spinoza and Leibniz and Kant and Hegel and Bradley and Bertrand Russell, so on. And also made a study of Nyaya and Vaisheshika and Sankhya and yoga and Purva Mimamsa, Uttar Mimamsa, and various schools of Indian philosophy. Studied quite a lot of the Bhagavad Gita, and I felt that none of them had answered the basic questions. And I was asking why people talk of so many great minds who have not been able to answer some of the basic questions on the answers of which our life can be truly built. If I want to serve the world and myself or anybody, I must know what is this world for, why has it come into being, and how best can you serve this world. Of course, I had seen this study of Vedanta, the theory of the absolute Brahman, and the concept of Maya was all the time full of Maya for me, because it was supposed to be the most intellectually satisfying answer, which itself admitted it is inexplicable. And yet it was regarded to be the most wonderful answer in the whole Indian philosophy. And I was wondering how that philosophy can be regarded as the acme of philosophical thought. I was perhaps very rebellious to many of my friends, whether they belonged to Western tradition or Indian tradition, but I was quite desperate and rebellious. But at the same time, I was very, very pained by the fact that I had no answer. It was at that time that I think Mother contrived that I should read the Life Divine. This is how I see now, retrospectively. A friend of mine who was studying with me in my college in Bombay, his uncle had read the Life Divine without understanding it. And he told his nephew, who was my partner in the hostel, that he should read that book and tell him the summary of that book. So that friend of mine that evening came to me and said, Kirit, you must read this book. He said, you know that I am engaged in a romance at present. I have no mood to read books. And you read this book and tell me what this book contains. So when I read the title, The Life Divine, I said, must be once again Maya. So I left it on my table. I said, all these philosophers talk of Maya, explain nothing at all, and give no meaning to life. So that is how the book remained for 1 week on my table, and I did not touch it. But that uncle was more persistent. And he asked him, have you read that book? And he came on that and said, please, don't read for God's sake, read for my sake. But read this book.